Today I talked to Logan, a local handmade jewelry craftsman, about his company, Kings of Alchemy, how he started his company, what he plans to do in the future for his company, and his inspiration from Greek mythology.
Hey, how's it going? Good. Can you hear me okay?
Good, how are you?
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay, so today I have Logan. He's the owner of the Kings of Alchemy jewelry. You have I just wanted to talk to you about your business a little bit. I found it through like an ad that popped up on Instagram. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I look, cool, he's local too. So just trying to, you know, get some local people around here that are, you know, making things and trying to get them into like a different kind of setting and, you know, see how what their work is like. And so why don't you tell me like how you came up with your business, when you started and everything?
So actually it started quite a bit before I started doing the jewelry. It kind of started with me doing 3D printing in general. I was making like gag gifts and just stupid little things where I could make just a little bit of money on the side. And that was back in like early 2019, like January, or sorry, 2018. And so after I did that for a while, I was like, wow, you know, like 3D printing is like really underestimated. And so I wanted to start kind of developing on that. I wanted to start doing more than just like gag gifts and stuff. But I actually kind of put it down for a little bit because I had a really busy job. I was a manager at a computer store. And so I was working really long hours. And eventually in July 2019, I ended up quitting to at least like develop and grow a little bit more. And actually things went really, really downhill. And so it was pretty bad for a while, actually until about March. I was just going through a lot of things and I was in a really bad situation. And I think that it was really the deep, deep dissatisfaction with my life that really pushed me to do something else. I was thinking of things that I was actually like really passionate about and things that I actually enjoyed doing. And I had always wanted to make jewelry. I've always worn jewelry. I've always been an accessory person for a long, long time. Like you can find pictures of me when I was 10 years old wearing, you know, a ring on every finger or something. And yeah, I was that kid. And so in March, I ended up figuring out that you could actually make jewelry using 3D printing. And I was like, okay, well, that combines like two of my favorite things to do in my pastime, or my favorite thing to do with like one of the things that I just love, jewelry. And so I started researching it a little bit and found out that it was very, very expensive to do, and it was very hard to do. And basically everyone that I asked kind of shut me down. They were like, no, you have to be a silversmith for, you know, 10 years to even be remotely good at this stuff. And I don't know, I kind of got really discouraged from doing it because everyone was just shutting me down left and right. And so I was like, screw that. I want to do it anyways. I want to try it. I want to try doing my own version of it. And so what I did was, I would try and design something in the 3D modeling software that I use. And I was very, very, like, I just started learning the 3D modeling software in March when I decided that I wanted to start making jewelry. And so it was kind of it's been kind of a long road from then, because I was learning the 3D modeling and I was learning the jewelry side of things. So there's two very big,
yeah, and they're really separate there. Sounding too, because you have like an old school way of doing something and then a new school way of doing something. So you're trying to learn the curve of both things at the same time.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I was pretty bad at 3D modeling. So I just began practicing on designs that were already made that were free. And so what I would do is I would take a model off of like a website like Thingiverse, and I would just like download a free model and I would 3D print it and I would try and make a mold out of it. So what I ended up doing was pulling that model into another program, and I would actually 3D print the mold, because I found out that there was a high temperature resistant resin that I could actually 3D print with. And so what I did was I 3D printed the molds themselves and tried to cast directly into that mold. So what I would do is 3D print that high temp resin, and then I would pour pewter, for example, into the mold. I got some pretty bad results, but some of them actually turned out like pretty decent for what it was, because the problems that I was having was the mold would crack when it came in contact with that high of heat. The pewter melted at quite a bit higher of a temperature than the mold was resistant to, and so I had problems with it like cracking the mold. And I remember the first time that I ever tried it, I actually like the pewter splattered and it splashed everywhere. And what was the last thing you heard?
The splatter. You said that oh, okay. It would splatter.
Yeah. So, the pewter, it just splattered everywhere. And from that first time, I started finding out about different ways that I could try and do the same thing. I was having all sorts of issues. I couldn't melt the pewter because I didn't want to use the stovetop to try and melt it. So I had to try and get a torch. And I just didn't really have access to any of the materials or equipment that I needed, even with just like a low temperature metal like pewter, which is just tin basically. And so I started researching into like building my own equipment, because like I said, the equipment for actual lost wax casting, which is how I make my jewelry now, was very, very expensive. You need a really nice kiln, you need a really nice vacuum chamber, you need a really nice vacuum casting machine, and a way to melt the metal, so a smelting furnace, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it just got very, very expensive. Like I would have spent thousands of dollars. And not to mention that the resin that people use to create the jewelry in lost wax is like $200 for half of a liter. And that lasts me like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So,
oh, damn. And a lot of people don't realize too, when you're doing this kind of business or when you're going into these like pursuits of like your own art and stuff, that there's a lot of stuff that you put your own money in first before you actually start seeing anything back. But just to point out, like this kind of equipment is, you know, really expensive to start to start out. So that's good that you kind of like were able to adapt and build your own equipment to start out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I didn't even really start seeing any profit until very, very recently. So like I've been working at it for a while, but yeah, building the equipment, that was like the most time consuming, but it was also very fun. It was very fun making my kiln. Like I had to learn how to wire up the electronics, and I've been doing like electronics and tech stuff for a long time. So I know about that quite a bit more, I guess, than the average person. But when it comes to like actually wiring electronics, I'm more of a I'm an IT guy for a living right now. But so I would wire up the kiln, I welded the frame together, I built a vacuum chamber by welding a couple parts together. My dad's a welder, so he had a couple welders for me to use, and he had scrap metal, and so I just pieced things together and turned a couple thousand dollars of equipment into like a couple hundred dollars of equipment, something that I could afford. And so I started testing with all of that, and it's kind of just been trial and error And now I've kind of got my my technique and everything a little bit more dialed in. Well, a lot more dialed in than when I first started, but it's definitely come a long way, and I'm still learning every day. There's still new things that I'm learning, but it's definitely come a long way.
That's awesome. And then, so a lot of your inspiration, a lot of inspiration come for your work? Because I noticed it's not really all over the place. It's pretty kind of distinct. So you'll know, like, if you go to like a show or something, they'll be like, oh, okay, well, this is definitely his style because of the way it looks. But where do you get your inspiration for your pieces?
Yeah, so it started with Greek mythology. So I'm part Greek, and I've always loved that side of me, and I've always wanted to kind of like do something with that. And I've just always loved that I'm part Greek. And so I was like, okay, why don't I start making my jewelry based on Greek mythology? And so a couple of my first designs were the Poseidon ring and the Hecate necklace pendant that I have. And so it kind of started off like that, but now, and just so you know, this isn't just me. I also work with my cousin on this. He actually lives in Japan. He does online stuff. So he like manages our Etsy and our Shopify and SEO, basically everything that he can't do that's hands-on. But anyways, we started off with Greek mythology, but we started kind of getting into other cultures because I've always just been like a history person. I've always loved learning about mythology and history and, you know, everything. And so we started doing other cultures like ancient Mesopotamia. We did a couple of designs for like after Pazuzu, for example. Uh-huh. We did a Kamen ring, which is based in Japanese culture. And then Greek mythology, we've done an Egypt ring, or a ring that was based off of Egyptian culture. So, Anubis. So I did Anubis design. And then I just finished a Hades design as well. But so that was another Greek mythology one. But we also have a couple random designs as well. Like some of them have been collaborations with other people. So you'll see a Valkyrie pendant. That one's actually based off Norse mythology, but that was a collaboration with someone. Some of them seem a little bit random, but they actually all except maybe one tie into some sort of mythology.
Which I think that's great because like a lot of mythology has like specific jewelry pieces or like that have like more history into them and stuff. And I think there's a big rise in a lot of people looking into Greek mythology and or most like any kind of mythology now, like, and you know, it's just kind of a big thing I've noticed coming up, especially Hecate has been like everywhere lately.
Yeah. That's actually one of our top selling pieces right now.
So you just have that mold kind of so you could keep using that mold to make more of this the pendants that you have then.
Yeah, so I actually have someone else make the molds for me so that I can cast easier because another piece of equipment that I can't actually, well, not that I can't, but that I don't know how yet to make is called a vulcanizer. And that will basically squish two silicone mats over the like 3D printed design, and it'll make a mold out of the design, but you need very, very high pressure to make a detailed mold like that, and I don't have that kind of equipment, so I send that out and get a mold, and I'll actually inject that mold with wax, and I'll just use that instead of 3D printing it each time because that gets super expensive.
That's funny. You said it was called a vulcanizer, just like it goes back into mythology too. Is Vulcan is like a character, and I can't remember which mythology it is, but yeah. But that's kind of funny that it goes back. It just all kind of goes back into that whole kind of the whole thing. So, what kind of projects are you wanting? Like, what are your dream projects that you want to work on, or what kind of things do you want to accomplish with with the art that you're creating?
Honestly, I. it really started off as like me just doing it for me because I'm a jewelry person. And then when people started taking an interest, I was like, okay, yeah, I need to do something with this. And I've been doing a lot of custom designs for people as well. Like I wear my jewelry all the time at work, and I'm passing out business cards all day long. Like,
nice.
Yeah. Like literally three people stopped me yesterday and they were like, dude, where did you get your stuff? And I was like, you know what? I actually make it. Here's a business card. And so I just keep a stack of business cards at work. And yeah, honestly, like my dream with this is I'd like to turn it into a full-time job. And I think that I can definitely do that as long as I'm being persistent with it. And I'm like, you know, just constantly working on it and not giving up. But that's ideally what I would like to do. Me and my cousin want to turn this into a full-time job. We want to, you know, get a warehouse eventually and have all of my casting equipment. Because right now when I first started, I had all my equipment on my porch at a apartment. And so everyone that walked by thought that I was just insane because, you know, they would walk by at 6 o'clock in the morning while I have this giant orange glow. It looks like there's a sun coming out of my equipment because of how hot it gets. And, you know, they're all like looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's how it started. And so I'm in another apartment now and I have a garage, but I don't want to keep my equipment running in the garage because it's made of wood and I'd like to not burn the place down. So, yeah, I do want like a warehouse eventually, just like a small little office space that anything really that I can put my equipment in. And, yeah, just turn this into a full-time position and go worldwide with it.
And honestly, it looks like you already do have all that stuff because when you look at your, you know, the pieces that you make, it looks like this, you know, they have some kind of warehouse set up or, you know, they have all this, you know, fancy equipment and stuff. It looks like, you know, legit operation going on. So that's good that you already have like that of the forefront. All you need now is to have that backup of your, you know, the office space when eventually, which obviously I think it's easy. You're going to be able to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to make it look as best I can.
And then is it like local stuff that have you done like local shows before in the past? Obviously right now it's kind of hard to do, but like, have you done those in the past and kind of do that kind of stuff, kind of get your name out there as well? Or, you know, are you just kind of staying with the online presence?
No, I haven't yet just because of COVID, but I would really, really like to go to some local shows and display my stuff. I do actually have a trip planned for Salem, Massachusetts in October. So that's
I'm so jealous.
yeah, it's a little ways away, but I think that I've actually had several people tell me that my stuff would do amazing there, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I've been wanting to go to a show or like an art gallery, like anything where I can display my stuff.
Yeah, especially because it's, you know, people see in person, they're more adamant to buy it right there and on the spot.
Yeah.
I think, too, if you actually went into a lot of the, like, witch shops that are there, too, and you showed them your jewelry, that they'd probably want to do, like, some kind of consignment thing, and then maybe put your business cards there, too, just because of the way Salem is, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I plan on doing. I've done that a little bit here, actually. Me and my friend went, like, to a bunch of places that I know did consignment, and a lot of the places actually turned us down solely because a lot of the like jewelry pieces that they sell are like very, very cheap, and so they're like, yeah, I don't know if it would sell here. And I was, so we do have actually our pieces in it's called Timeless Design and Jewelry in Salt Lake. They're actually another local business that just opened up. They had their grand opening like 2 months ago, maybe. So I do have some pieces there as well, but that's about it for now.
Okay, cool. And then I actually have a previous guest that has a small shop too up in Salt Lake. So I'll message you that information to see if maybe they'd be interested, because I know that they, I think they take in smaller consignment stuff in local places. But I think that especially the Hakate pieces would be really cool there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's see. I had a couple more questions about like your goals for this year. What with everything still kind of being up in the air with the shows and everything, do you have any like? I know last summer when everything was kind of just barely happening, I had a couple of my friends kind of did like an Instagram live kind of marketplace type thing. Would you be interested in doing something like that eventually? Maybe just kind of, you know, have a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, events type feel, I guess, until everything goes back to normal.
Say that one more time. Like, would I?
Would you want to do like an, so me and a couple of friends have done before is we did like an Instagram live marketplace type thing we'd spend like a half an hour with each artist and then be like describing your work and kind of like where you get your, you know, what you do and that kind of stuff. And then showing everybody's followers that come through. Is that something you'd be kind of interested in to kind of get your name out there too?
Yeah, absolutely. I would do that for sure.
Cool, perfect. And where can everybody kind of find your work at? Instagram is probably the main place, I would say, because that's where I kind of found your stuff at.
Yeah, Instagram. If you look up Kings of Alchemy on Instagram, that's probably the best place. That's where we post the most. I'm trying to make more content for other platforms as well right now, like some TikTok videos of the design process, casting process, stuff like that. Is the main right now, and the shops, there's kingsofalchemy.com, and then there's our Etsy shop, which is also just Kings of Alchemy, so you can look us up either place.
Perfect. And then you did say, I can't remember if you did say this, do you do custom pieces too? Someone came to you with a piece that they wanted?
Yep, I do.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Well, I'll put everything, all the information in the show notes for people to reach you, and thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I'll have all of the contacts for Kings of Alchemy in the show notes. And you can find me at Gemini Moon House on Instagram. There you can find a link to my Etsy page. You can also look forward to seeing some new stuff that I'll be coming out with. I have some sales going on. Just check my Instagram page for more updates. Thanks. Thank you.